We are. In spite of how we change and get away from you and then even practice open rebellion, every time that we approach you, whether it's Wednesday or Sunday or any day as we are now in prayer, you're always ready and anxious and willing to receive us again in spite of what we've done. And Lord, even because of what we've done, it's your love and your grace. And in Christ Jesus, I thank you for that. And now I claim the right to preach your word and to hear it and to be blessed by it, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue now as the crucifixion of Jesus Christ gets closer and closer and more personal and more personal. The crucifixion will start getting closer to today in your home and your life than further, which you've always been taught, especially now with Easter coming up. But we always had a nice Easter message in which they start telling us the same story about Easter, about the crucifixion, and acting real surprised like none of us knew what the ending was going to be. And then when they finally got to the end of the message, everybody said, oh, praise God, amen. But I thought, but we already knew that story. And they told it every year the same way, and I thought, well, it doesn't change. And although I was grateful for it as a point of my salvation to know that Jesus is God and what he did at Calvary, they never went beyond that. They tried to tell me how wonderful, and it was that Jesus went to the cross, and it is, and I thank God for that, but they never told me who sent him there. Except this poor guy named Pontius Pilate and some other dude named Judas and a few other people that we didn't never know their names, and I thought, well, aren't those poor people just pathetic? Don't you just feel sorry for them? They didn't know what they were doing. Poor things. Nobody ever told me I was one of those poor things. Nobody ever told me that the crucifixion was going on daily in my life and that I was making the truth helpless in my life while I was told to wait until it was the Lord's will that the truth would work in my life. You see, I was in a trap. And I couldn't get out of the trap because I didn't know who put me in. And now we're trying to find out, and we're going to know how we get into the trap. Matthew 27:1 says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Notice these are the chief priests and elders of the people, not of the Lord. They're not God's appointed people. These are people that are chief priests because they say they know better, and they're the elders because they happen to have participated in an act that was to satisfy their own bodily needs, and you happened to happen. And that made them elders. And just because of that, now they think they know everything about you and what's good for you, when the fact of the matter is you're their children by an accident of biology. And you see, the fact that these children, that you have children, doesn't give you any more right to claim anything else other than your body physically worked or works. And that you had a desire to fulfill your physical needs, and there's nothing wrong with that, but don't give it more credit than it has coming. That's all you did. And your intention never was to have children and to raise them. You had other things on your mind. And I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying, let's call it what it is, and not make yourself theological geniuses with long flowing robes because you happen to be a romantic little soul. And I'm not trying to take that away from you. Again, I'm just trying to tell you, don't make it more than it is. You're elders and you have children just because of the biology of it. Your parents are your parents just because of the biology of it. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, God Almighty, is your parent for totally different reasons. While you were yet sinners, while we were yet in our worst, Christ died for us. And don't tell me that if you would have known who your child was going to be and how they were going to act, don't tell me you'd have had them anyway. You're lying.
Amen.
And if your mother and father have a shred of decency in their life, and they knew how you were going to turn out, and then later on come back and find out who did it, who do it, they would have never had you. But you see, this man, Christ Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before you had an opportunity to do the things you're doing, he already decided to die for you. What makes you think you can do anything now to make him change his mind? The fact of the matter is, I'm trying to make a distinction between the Heavenly Father and these earthly things that you insist on hanging on to. These are the chief priests and elders of the people. And they took counsel against Jesus, against the truth, to put him to death. The thing they don't want is the truth in your life, because it will expose the lie. But before they can do that, they have to deal with the truth in a certain way, and it takes your approval. And in verse 2 it says, and when they had bound him, when they had made the truth unable to move, with your approval, when they took the truth and you agreed that it didn't work, that it wasn't God's will yet, it's going to happen someday. Well, you see, then today you have agreed to bind the truth so the truth doesn't work. Now, why would the chief priests and elders want to bind the truth? Well, look what it says. And when they had bound him, they led. Well, you see, before you knew the truth, they led. And then you learned the truth, and they didn't lead. And then they bound him, and they led. And here we are. But you see, there's something different now, because now you have the truth within you. So they led, but they had to deliver him right back to Pontius Pilate, the governor. They had to deliver him to the governor, because the chief priests and elders can't make the decisions for you anymore. It ain't legal. They can only try to convince you out of love and obligation and duty and guilt that you should agree with them, but they can't make the decision for you anymore. So even though they had bound Jesus and now they led, they still had to deliver him to the governor. Now in verse 11, and you be the governor, I'll show you in a minute. In verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Now you know how that's always been preached to you. Here's what it really means. Pilate, the governor, you say, is this true? Are you really true? Is this really true? And Jesus, the truth, comes back and says, you're going to have to say it. See, remember, when Jesus asked Matthew or Peter, I forget which one, who do men say that I am? I said, some say you're this and Elijah, and some say you're the prophet. And he says, who do you say I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed art thou, because flesh has not revealed this to you. So what did he say? You're blessed now because you say I'm the king. You say I'm the Christ. You say I'm the truth. Now, why didn't Jesus say, yes, I am the king of the Jews? Because he's God, and everybody would have then have to recognize him as king, and no one would have a choice, and he would have spoken against his own word and taken away our right to say yes or no. So you see, Jesus cannot say, I am the Christ. He always said, you say it. Are you the Christ? You say it. Or don't say it. But Christ didn't say it, because the word in the Son of God spoken is too powerful. And if Jesus would have said that, then it would have taken away everyone. Everybody would have been automatically of the opinion that he is the king. Everybody would have accepted him. He would have gone against his own word. We wouldn't have had a choice, and he would have been unrighteous. Now, if that's true then, it's true now. So when you say, is that really true? Could that be? I'm going to say to you, you say it. I've already said it. I say it from this pulpit 4 times a week. 4,000 times a week over the phone. I say, this is true. Jesus is true. Yes, this is going to work. Look at my life. It's working. And now I say, you say it now. And that's what happened. Jesus stood before the governor. See, they have to bring it back to you and say, now, is this true? Do you really believe this, Junior? Love of my life, that I've given you my life all this time. Do you really believe this, sweetheart? You break my heart in the process. Could you possibly believe it? That's about the way they approach you, isn't it? And then you say, well, that's what the preacher said. No, you say it. And incidentally, that's why they hate me. And don't fool with me, by the way, because I say it. Now, what's holding you back? You don't say it. You're waiting for Jesus to come and sweep you away in a flaming chariot to your reward. You want to rule and have, you want to sit on the throne and speak ex cathedra. Well, go. You have a scroll right next to you, all ready to go. So you can put all your magnificent thoughts for posterity, all rolled up there on scroll, just ready to go. Open like a scroll. Perfect setup for you. It's the only throne in your house, isn't it? Because remember what throne means? A covered seat. You ain't got no other seat in the house got a cover on unless you're weird. So Jesus was brought back. The truth was brought back to you, the governor, and said, and the governor says, well, I don't know. Are you the truth? And the truth says, you say whether I am or not. Now this governor said, art thou the king? King doesn't mean the person who wears the robes. It means, from the Greek, foundation of power. Are you the foundation of power? It means base, foundation of power and base. Now you see, we have a responsibility to be like Jesus Christ on this earth. So if we in fact are the truth, if we are speaking the truth, then we ought to be his representatives as the foundation of power. But you see, no one wants to do that except those individuals who recognize the calling that they have, because we all have it, but not all of you recognize it. People say, oh, yes, I'd like to be the foundation of power. Yes. Well, let's see if you would. Foundation means the base on which something rests. Oh, yes, brother, I'd like that. It means the fundamental principle on which something is founded. Oh, yes, I'd like to be the representative of that. But the foundation is always at the bottom, the lowest part of the building. No, you want to be the penthouse. You want to be the steeple. You want to be the second story or the third story. See, being the foundation means you're at the bottom. That means when push comes to shove, you're first and I'm last. That's what foundation means. And in the garden, Jesus made that decision, I'll be last. Thy will be done. If these people can't be saved any other way, then let's do it. So he said, I'll be the foundation. Now, I thank God he doesn't ask me to be the foundation the same way, but he does ask me, would you be last? Would you be at the bottom? Would you be at the bottom part, the part that's seen the least? The part that nobody pays attention to, where the rats live. the basement, the part that the basement rests on. Would you be that part for me? But he says, those of you that are humble yourselves, he said, I will exalt you. So they asked him, are you the foundation of power? Are you the fundamental principle on which everything is founded? They didn't even ask him, is this true? Is it right what Reuben says? What they're saying is this Bible the principle on which everything is founded? Now, if the answer is yes to that, then all you have to do is be able to read, and you'd be saying yes to the whole thing. Just says, are you the principle on which power is based? Well, if you are the foundation, if you've accepted Jesus as the King of the Jews, then, first of all, you won't be prideful. You won't mind. In fact, you'll want to be the foundation. You won't be so critical and upset because you're not first. You're not the penthouse. See, you're so caught up with penthouse mentality that you always end up in the doghouse. At my way, it'd be the guardhouse. Thank God I don't have my way. Foundation of power. Power means the ability to do, act, or produce. If you don't have the ability to do, act, and produce that you say you want to do, then you haven't said he's the foundation of power. Because if you said it and you believed it, then why can't you do, why can't you act, and why can't you produce? Because thou hast not said. You're asking me to do it for you. You want Jesus to run roughshod over you and make you good. And he's not even asking you to change. He's saying, you say it. If this is true, if this is what you believe, then you say it. Oh, amen, brother, I believe it. But when you get out there and you get a chance to say it, what do you do then? Just the opposite. So that's why you don't have power. See, you can't have power unless you have the foundation of power. And power means the ability to do, the ability to act, and the ability to produce. But it also means power means a specific ability. So as a preacher, I need a specific ability to read and understand and to speak this word clearly and with authority. That's a specific ability that I need. Oh, I don't have the power. I believe I have the foundation and I have the power because I have the specific ability to preach. I have the specific ability to counsel. I have my BB degree. Bubba kicks butt. Amen. You can't win an argument. Amen. There is no way that you're going to win. I have a specific ability. Amen. Well, you see, men, if that's true of me, then why isn't it true of you? Why is it that you cannot get your wife into conformance? You lack specific ability. Power also means vigor and force and strength, and it means authority, legal authority. Power means a person who has great influence, great force, and great authority. Well, why is it that you don't have the power? Because you're not a foundation. Your family, you be first. Look at you, and you're on top. What you want comes first. Then if there's enough left, everybody else gets it. It ought to be the other way around. And I'll tell you how it works. This is great. I say, all of you first. And say, Lord, the Lord says, you going to do that? Yes, everybody first. And then what's left is mine. You have no idea how much is left. Much more than even me as a greedy individual. If I do it the other way around, I'd say, oh, man, I think I'll take this much. I hope they don't recognize. I'll take this much and hope nobody sees it. Even if I satisfied my greed that way and took me first, that's not as much as I get after I put you all first, and then what's left is mine is more than what my greed would have prompted me to take in the first place. So when you humble yourself, God exalts you. There's more left than you would have greedily took in the first place. And then I realize this spirit of greed, as strong and pervasive as it is, can't motivate me to take more than God's going to give me after I give everybody else first. So the bottom line is I end up with more than I would have taken myself in the first place. Somehow or other, you just don't get that principle, though. You can never have the power until you take the position of foundation. The base on which something rests, the lowest part, the part that holds all the weight, which because of that has to be the strongest part. Foundation also means the base of power. Base means the fundamental or main part. So see, in this church, the fundamental or main part of our power is vested in the person that he put in charge, which is the head, but he's really the bottom. I don't really understand how that works. I just know that it does. I'm the head, but really I'm the bottom. So you become the fundamental or main part. Well, that's the role you're supposed to play at home, man. And then you Christians who go to work, you're probably one of the few ones there. You're supposed to be the fundamental or main part. But what do? You go along with their program. If you were arrested for being a Christian, there wouldn't be enough witnesses to convict you. The jury would call you innocent. There's just not enough people to know him. Well, I didn't know he was a Christian. Well, he always goes along with what we say, and he never says anything, and he just drinks and eats and does everything like we do. Did you know he was a Christian? Yeah. Base also means a center of operations or the source of supply, the headquarters. Well, where is the headquarters? Where does the governor live? In the headquarters. Where is the power? In the headquarters. Well, where are the headquarters? Gosh, all you got to do is look at the word and it'll tell you. It doesn't say hindquarters, headquarters. See, you don't know the difference between the two, hindquarters and headquarters. No. Turn it around. Headquarters. And yet base not only means the headquarters, but it also means the lowest part or the bottom of something. See, it's a paradox. But you know what else base means? It means the only place that you're safe while you're standing on it in most games. So if you can make it to base, you're safe. It's a place where you're safe. And you see what they asked Jesus, what they asked is the same thing that your chief priests and elders asked you. Is this working? Does this really give you the authority and power to do? I'll tell you, you know one of the things that amazes me? You sit here and you get so complacent. Sometimes you make me sick. You have such a hard time getting to church on time, paying attention. You just think like you got this coming. Like if it's so what? We've heard this. We'll just, so who cares? I'll tell you how the world, I appreciate sometimes. Had a man come in here the other day, said, I want to meet you at church to insure the building. Takes about 15 minutes. Just want to look at the equipment. He sat down there. We set up a table for him. He start looking at the tree. Says, "This is nice. I'm a member of Scott Memorial. I'm not happy with it." And he start talking, and he start asking me questions, and one wow led to another. And well, what about? Well, I've never heard of that. Well, you, God, I didn't know. What? Well, gee, oh my God, well, what about 4.5 hours later, I said, I gotta go. Had other places to go. And he wouldn't, he'd stop here, we left there, and then he'd stop here and talk, and then he'd stop, he didn't want to leave. He was hungry, he was so appreciative of the word. 8-9 years in the biggest church in our city, and he didn't know what repent meant. He didn't know what sin meant. He was not fed. He didn't know what he was doing. He said, I've been in the missionaries. I teach Sunday school. I want to be a deacon, but it doesn't work. I'm so unfulfilled. What's wrong with me? We got to leave. I'm unhappy. In 4.5 hours, he got more food than he's had in 8 years. His eyes were as big as saucers. They would to God. But see, if he were to come, he might be sleeping like you in a year or two. You know, you've gotten too comfortable. You've all forgotten where you came from. I wish I'd have made some videos when you walked in. Oh, God, I wish. I'd threaten you with them now. I'd say, you stay awake, or I'm going to buy a screen, and I'm going to set that thing up back there, and every time you don't show up or you go to sleep, I'm going to run a picture of you walking in here. That ought to be worth several $1,000 on the black market. Now we've talked some about Jesus. Let's talk about this governor within you. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, verse 11, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou say it. Thou sayest. Now who is this person that asked? Show you, it's you. Governor means the chief person, the prince and the ruler. But it doesn't mean you in your entirety, because the rest of the definition means to consider, to suppose, and to think. So that excludes everything from your chin down. Actually, everything from your eyeballs down is excluded by the definition consider, suppose, and think. So where is the governor? Who is the governor? Your soul, your rational mind. Where is the governor? In the headquarters. So who is the individual? Where are the decisions made? In the soul, in the mind. The last part of the definition means to command with official authority. So whatever you suppose, whatever you consider, whatever you think, becomes official authority. So when you say, I don't think I can do this, you're commanding with official authority. I'm afraid. I don't know. This might fall apart. I don't know what to do. Don't you understand what you've just done? You have just commanded with official authority that you don't know and that you can't do it and that the truth doesn't work for you. You've just crucified. You've just agreed to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth. What you consider, what you suppose, and what you think becomes the official authority in your life. That's why when you ask me what I think, that only helps me. But then when it comes time for you to do it, you do something different than what I think and what the Lord thinks. Now understand the relationship between the governor, which is your mind, and your hindquarters. I want you to know how your headquarters and hindquarters work in relation to each other, by the way. Get your mind off of that scroll and that magnificent message that you've already got ready to go. See, that's really the only time you ever think clearly, isn't it? I'm going to buy for my van, you know, one of those real fancy ones, you know, with the golden things on the end that look like the scrolls. I'm going to get me a fancy one just to keep me humble. Remind Rube, this is the only time and this is the only domain that you're safe in ruling without the Lord Jesus Christ. You're safe here. You don't need any counseling here. You need no advice. You need nothing. You're safe here. Keep me humble. I'm looking for it tomorrow. God willing, I'm getting me the biggest, fanciest scroll holder that I can find. I've even heard of some that are musical. You know, you pull on it and yes. Like, for he's a gentleman, get something. I'll come up with something. Something that will tell me how wonderful I am in that domain that I rule so eminently. I don't even know where all that came from. Where was I? Oh, governor. Okay, governor. I'm going to show you how the headquarters and the hindquarters work together. The word governor means a person appointed to govern a dependency. It's the elected head. In other words, there's a part that's been appointed to govern the dependency. Now, you know that your flesh is a dependency. It always develops a dependency on everything. It doesn't matter what you give it, it becomes dependent on it. I don't care what it is. Your flesh is a dependency. It needs a governor. It needs an elected head. Now, when the governor is governing, the dependency does what the governor says. But when it's the other way around, the governor's in the throne room. Governor means a person appointed to govern a dependency. Now, Satan knows that. And Satan knows that this place where the governorship is your mind. And he knows that Jesus Christ has won and deserves the right to sit there in your soul and govern the truth. Truth has that right. Now, he cannot move Jesus Christ out. The only thing he can do is ask you to invite someone else in. Well, what does that mean? See, remember, it's an appointed person. Well, if you look up the word person, appointed means, it means not elected. It means someone you decide. Well, what does person mean? Personality. So what does the governor mean? It's the appointed personality, which means you can appoint whatever personality you want. And therein lies the difficulty. Now, if you look up the word person, you'll see that it has three basic definitions that apply to God and three basic definitions that apply to human beings. And this is in the dictionary. Personality or person. Definition number one, any of the three modes of being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what person means. In other words, person by definition means one of the three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So there's three persons, three personalities. Well, if we're made in his image and likeness, then where's our three personalities? Next definition of person means the division of three sets of pronouns, first person, second person, third person. So there's your three sets, just like God has. So we have the three. Now, if you would keep those three, you'd be all right. Now, let me tell you how those three work. First person. First word. Let's play charades. First person. It means the form of a pronoun which refers to the speaker. So see, the first person in this three sets of mode of being is the person that's doing the talking. That's you. That's me. I'm the one that's talking. So I'm the first person. So see, that relates to me. Now, I've got a first person, just like God has a first person, the Father. Well, now I need to have a second person. Second person, by definition, means the form of a pronoun which refers to the person spoken to. Okay, now there's where you blow it. See, me is supposed to speak to me. The minute I start speaking and blaming you, then I've made you the second person. Now, what would third person mean? The person spoken of. So see, if the person doing the speaking is me, then the person I'm speaking to ought to be me, and the person I'm talking about ought to be me. Now I've got it. Now I've got my governor intact. But how does Satan rob you? Oh, you're the first person, all right. You're the Father. You're God. You're authority. You're the one that's doing the talking. But the person you talk to is someone else. And the person you talk about is someone else again. So now what's happened with your governor? Split. Split personality. All about Eve. You are now crazy. See, the way to keep sanity, the way to keep spiritual sanity, the way to know the truth about you, the way to be free, the way to get out of anger and judgment and criticism and insecurity and never worry about anybody or anything is, remember, I'm the first person. I'm the one that's talking. There's a problem here. There's something going on. I'm talking. Who am I talking to? To me. Who am I talking about? Me. So what does that mean? I can only solve my problem. I can't criticize and judge and try to change the world, or I lose my personality. Now, what happens when you lose your personality? Now there's an opening there for Satan to put a personality in there. You're going to regret. You know, there are people that have gone to school all their lives. There is a discipline called psychiatry and psychology where people have been going consecutively for hundreds of years trying to learn why do people go crazy, and they don't know yet. I learned this in 1.5 hour this afternoon. How do you do it? First person does the talking. Forget about being the second person, the one spoken to, and don't, for whatever you be the person spoken of. Now your personality is broken. The mode of being, you're created in the image and likeness of God, is gone now. You don't have the three parts. You're not the first person, the second person, and the third person. And remember what that means. It means the three modes of being as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And what did Jesus say? My Father and I are one. We're three, but we're one. There's no way to separate us. So what does that mean? God's talking to God about God. Now what does that say to you? Reuben, talk. Reuben, you talk. Thou sayest. Thou speak, you say it to Reuben, about Reuben. Don't you be going around judging people. You lose your personality. And that's why there are some people in this room who got as much personality as some of these stools around here. I know rocks I would rather spend time with. You ain't got no personality. And I shouldn't even phrase it that way. You have a devilish personality. Because you lost your first, second, and third person mentality, which is a gift from God that keeps you in the image and likeness of God. And I'm telling you something as honestly, I swear to God to you, I do not believe there is a pastor, a preacher, a theologian in this entire planet that knows this. I've never heard it. No one knows. Well, why do people start acting the way they do? What is it that changes about us? What is it that you leave here and all of a sudden you just go bananas and nothing makes sense anymore? And you let these other personalities creep in that you said you weren't going to let in. I'll tell you why. You're not one anymore. You split the atom. You better imitate Jesus Christ or you're going to be sorry. Don't you dare turn loose of this first, second, and third person mentality. It's a mode of being. It means no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what problem that you have, no matter what you're trying to do, you be the person that speaks, you be the person spoken to, and you be the person spoken of. And you will never, ever fail, ever in anything. And if you don't believe it, challenge me, try it. There's no way that God is wrong. See, this personality means the quality of being a particular person. You want to be like Jesus Christ? Then you've got to be first, second, and third person, just like him. You got to be. That's what personality means. The quality of being a particular person. But personality also means the habitual patterns and qualities of behavior of any individual, as expressed by mental attitudes and physical activities, which means personality means you act the way you think. Now, if you think first, second, and third person, then you are in the image and likeness of God. How in the world can you fail? You can't. But the minute you start changing this first, second, and third person mentality, you're no longer in the image and likeness of God, and it's of your own doing, and now you have patterns and qualities of behavior that are totally different than the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time that you've sat there and said, why do I do this? I've just told you why. You lost one of the persons. You're a person or two short. And you know, now that I think about it, in the book of Revelation, it says when Jesus returns, there's going to be a lot of theologians, a lot of spiritual people that are going to go to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. He says, get away from me, ye workers of iniquity. Well, what's wrong? They called him Lord, Lord. They were a Lord short. That's what was wrong with them. They forgot Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You should have said, Lord, Lord, Lord. That'd be my three persons talking to those three persons, and we're in agreement. You know, I always wondered, well, why? What is it? They called him Lord. And I asked him, I said, well, I don't know. God in heaven, I don't know. When he gets back, we'll know. I don't want to wait then. I want to know now. Well, now I know. They were a Lord short, weren't they? What's your problem? You're a person short. Oh, you're always the one that does the talking. Oh, yes, I'm so hurt. This. And yes, I'm the one that's hurt, and your second person's all right. And then we get to the third person, and they're the ones that did it. We just lost it, didn't we? I'm excited about this, you know. I'm going to go back and study this more. There's more in this thing. This third person thing is just blowing me away. It's a key that I've been looking for a long time to say to people, I know what we do, and I even know why we're doing it, but where's the place where it sneaks in? Lord, why? Where does this happen? And like all human beings, I was looking in such deep theological things, and I thought, oh, maybe if I go take the van up to Mount Helix, and if I don't eat for a day or two, and just stay there, and just sit there and just meditate and look pathetic. And the Lord said, why don't you open the Bible and pick out a word, and then I'll lead you, and it's right there in the dictionary. What? And there it is. Personality. Any of the three modes of being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or any of the three sets of humanity, first person, second person, third person. And again, the person speaking, the person being spoken to, and the person being spoken of, all have to be you, or you're going to continue to fail. That's simple. Let's see if you do it, because if you don't, you will develop habitual patterns and qualities of behavior expressed by mental attitudes and physical activities. That's what it'll be. And those mental attitudes and physical activities will not line up with the Lord Jesus Christ and will not line up with what you hear here, and it will not line up even with what the first person wants to do. Because, see, the first person is always right. Nobody loses the first person part because that's always the person talking. I couldn't take that one away with you with a baseball bat. You are not going to give up being the person that does the talking. The second one, you're not so dogmatic about, but that third one, you will not touch that one with a 10-foot pole. You're not going to be the one spoken of. Mm-mm. Well, now you know who the governor is. The individual, this elected head, the one who is governing the body, the dependency. And when the dependency is in line and in subjection to the truth, you got it right. But you need to understand about this dependency that we're dealing with. And I need to prove to you that it's your body. The governor is the appointed person that governs the dependency. Now understand, this is an appointed person. So people say to me, well, does that mean that I haven't appointed the truth? And I said, well, listen to what you said. You said you were disappointed. Well, yeah, I'm unhappy. I'm disappointed. Well, then how could the governor be Jesus Christ? Disappointed. Dis means the God of the lower world. Dis also means, it's the prefix that means whatever follows dis is what you ain't got. So when you're disappointed, it means you're not appointed. Now, what does that mean? God appointed you when he saved your soul, and he said, you are now appointed the head of the dependency. So now you call up and you say, I'm disappointed. Immediately, I know what's wrong. Two of your persons are out in la-la land. And the only one I ever get to talk to is the one that wants to do all the talking. Let's talk about this dependency. It means something that's dependent or subordinate, something that deals or harbors dependence. Dependence means to be influenced or controlled or determined by something else. As a matter of fact, the signals that my body needs for even my heart to beat have to come from my brain. So you see, this whole body is dependent on the soul, the mind, the brain. Do you see what Satan wants? You say, oh, Satan's after my flesh. Are you joking? He had that a long time ago, and he doesn't want it anymore than Jesus does. Jesus says, I'm going to burn that garbage one day. He says, I've got to give you a new body. That one stinks. Amen. Satan isn't after your flesh. It's a pile of garbage. It's the head he wants. Dependence means reliance on someone or something else for support and for aid. You're dependent on anger, depression, criticism, judgment, food, drugs, alcohol, jealousy, envy, insecurity. You're a hopeless addict. And only hopeless because you don't want to get the three persons together. You still want to talk about somebody else. You don't want to do the talking to you about you. Every counseling session I've ever had with any of you, I say, let's talk about you. No, no, no. You want to get the third person thing out of there. That's why you're dependent. That's why your day depends on what other people do. You're a hopeless dependent. You're a child. If people don't come and visit you and be nice to you, your day goes in the toilet. If somebody doesn't do something the way that you want it, you go in the toilet. If your husband says something to you that's right, even if you don't like the way he said it, you go in the toilet. Amazing swimmers.
And you know, you've all developed such a wonderful backstroke because it's the only way you can swim and still talk. The end result is you become a dependent. Dependent means a person who depends on someone else for support. It means a subordinate. So now here's the problem. Your body is now depending on a screwed up personality. And your body's screwed up enough as it is. But with these personalities that you let take over, and how do you open the door again? By making the third person, the one you want to talk about, someone other than you. And now your body is controlled by and manifests your personality. Now understand this. When you're acting like a stupid jerk, don't be blaming it on someone else. That's what caused the problem in the first place. Your body is manifesting your personality. It's your dependent. You're the one that's, it's showing you how you're thinking. It's totally dependent on you. So now your habitual patterns and qualities of behavior are expressed by mental attitudes and physical activities. So you see, how you think and how you act tell you who the governor is. Now understand how this begins. It's mental first. It's envy. That makes you start acting jealous. See, so the personality, the mental part is envy. The physical activity then becomes acting jealous, being upset and critical, and not dealing with your own jealousy and your own inadequacy. You try to blame it on, like, I feel this way because she did that, or he did that, or they didn't do this. Well, you see, then you've got the wrong personality. Anger will always be the mental side, that you're angry. And how does it manifest physically? You fight. Depression is the mental attitude. And how does it manifest? In sickness. Why? Because you depress all the bodily functions, all of them, including the immunity system. So then everything gets to you. Stress is a mental problem. But you see, it's a manifestation of the personality that's in charge. It's a stress personality. How does it manifest physically? Headaches and pains. Aches and pains everywhere and nowhere. You tell they're here and then it goes here and it's they're traveling pains. The doctor can't find them. Ooh, ee, where? Ooh, yeah, there. Oh, no. You know, if I was a doctor, I'd be a millionaire by now, a zillionaire by now. One of the biggest mental problems is fear. It's a personality. It's a habitual pattern and quality of behavior. Fear. What's the manifestation? Criticism and judgment and sleeplessness. Just, see, those are the, that tells you the wrong personality's in charge. So when the body manifests these things, instead of you speaking about the first person, now the third person, see, the first person denied the third person, now the third person's all screwed up, and what does it say? Wasn't the first person. It's my husband, it's my wife, somebody else. Well, let me tell you how being in the image and likeness of God, you only need one personality, truth, only one mental activity, truth. Right. Whatever's right is right, no matter who does it. So see, you only have one personality to deal with, Jesus Christ. I'm the one that's talking. I'm the one that I'm talking to. And I'm the one that I'm talking about. I confess, Lord, it's me. I talked. I'm talking to me. And I'm talking about me. You mean you're not moaning and groaning about it? No, Lord, it's me. That's truth. Now, what is the physical manifestation of that? Happy, healthy, prosperous, forgiving. And here's the good one. This is the key. Grateful. What? What's that word? You have You don't even know what you've never even heard the word. I don't know too many people that are grateful for what they have. They're constantly complaining about what they haven't received yet. And I say, but you're not even using what you have yet. Well, you know, I want more. Well, use what you have. In the house that I grew up on, you know, one thing we never did. I learned this. In my house, you do not take your plate and serve anything else on your plate if there's something still there. That would be a no-no. You ate what you had on your plate or you got nothing else. See, I see somebody do it. The kid moves the things here and there and he flips it from here to there and he takes the food for a ride and it never does get eaten. Oh, I'm done now. He just takes it around. Let's just start with the broccoli here and we end up here and it ends up over here and then I bring it down here and... Oh, no, I'm wise to that. Tell you what's going to happen from now on. Whatever's in that plate better be eaten. If it isn't eaten, you get no more. I don't even know how I got on that one. Now we finally get to the conclusion. Jesus is asked, "Art thou the King of the Jews? Are you the foundation of power of the Jews?" Now, everybody used to tell me, the Jews are the chosen people. Praise the Lord. Jews are the chosen people. We're not the chosen. We're not Jews. We're not the chosen people. It's for the Jews. And I said, well, if God's no respecter of persons, how come? And incidentally, if they're the chosen people, and Jews are, but if it's just for them, they ain't got it too good, have they? You know what I learned about the word Jews? It means those belonging to Yehuda or Judaism. But it means Jews as a country, not as a race or a nation or a people. It means Jews as a country. It means Judea. It means the Judean land. Are you the king of those from the Judea belonging to the Judean land? Well, what is the Judean land? The land of rest. Could be an El Cajon. It is an El Cajon. You want to see what the land of rest looks like? 233 North Mollison, apartment number 13. The land of rest. There's a piece of the land of rest there. You could all have the same thing. But see, this doesn't mean a nation or as a race or a group of people. It means a nation or a group as a land. And the only land I know that God has is the land of rest on this earth, and then it's called heaven in heaven. So what is he saying? Are you the king of the ones that are in the land of rest? Now, what does that tell you now? If you're not in the land of rest, he's king, but he is the king of the ones that are in the land of rest. Now, what is the problem? That he's not the king? No. That there is no land of rest? No. That you're not in the land of rest. Oh, Henry, it's a pop top. Oh. You see why I've been trying to get you into this unemotional, rational state of mind? It's the land of rest. It's the place where Jesus Christ, the truth, is king. You will never ever have his power manifested in your emotion and your anger and your division of the three persons of your being. He don't live there. You got to go where Jesus is at. You can't stay wandering in the wilderness and expect him to come and set up shop out there. He's not going to do it. Or he'll feed you out there. But man, if we go across the river, the grapes are as big as your head. Remember that? So what is this saying? Are you the king of the ones that are in the land of rest? And Jesus said to him, you say it. That's what he is the king of those that belong to the land of rest. Jews means belonging to Yehuda, Judea, the Judean land, the land of rest. So what does Jew mean? Those that belong to the land of rest. those that live in the land of rest. That's what it is. And he said, that's where I'm king. Now he says, all you have to do is you have to say that. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ, you are the king of those that are in the land of rest. How do you feel? Oh, I'm tired and upset and agitated. No. You're not in the land of rest, are you? Now you want me to go grab Jesus by the throat and force him to come where you're at. Too big, too strong. No, no. We got to go to him. And Jesus said, you say it. You say, I'm the king of those belonging to the land of rest. And then every time you're not in a situation where the truth is ruling and you're not at peace, you know what the problem is. It isn't that you did some wrong sin. It isn't that you did something you didn't tithe or didn't. You know what it is? You moved. You moved from rest. You moved from his protection. You moved from where he put you. You moved from where you legally belong. And how did you do it? Remember, third person. You were the person talking, but you decided to gossip to someone else about a third person and blame your problem on the third person by telling the second person while you being the first person. You split up the Trinity. You've lost your ability to be in the image and likeness of God. And the last thing Jesus said, you say it. Thou sayest. The word sayest comes from a Greek word, lego. Lego my ego. That's what he says. You've got to say it. It doesn't mean logo as in word. It means lego. Well, what does lego mean? See, he says, those that are in the land of rest will say it. They'll lego. Now, if you're not in the land of rest, you can't lego. So now you can determine whether you're in the land of rest, because I'm going to tell you what lego means. And if you can't let go, you're not in the land of rest. Now listen carefully. This will tell you if you're in the land of rest. Lego means to relate in words. Not in anger, not in depression, not in emotion. Means to relate in words. Okay, so how do you get back into the land that you left because you broke up the Trinity? You got to relate in words. It means words of systematic set discourse. In other words, God says, we got to get together again. You got to get this thing right in words. So how do we relate? Relate means to connect or associate. So what does that mean? We got to connect in words. So you try to solve your problems and connect with each other and resolve and reconcile with criticism and judgment and some emotional situation, which then lets you make up emotionally and physically so that you can fight emotionally and physically so that you can make up emotionally and physically. And that ain't no land of rest. Relate means to show relation between. In other words, he says, the only way you can show relation between Jesus and yourself is with words. Oh, I thank God for that. I thought it was going to say actions. I thought it was going to say, you got to act like Jesus. You got to be perfect like him. No, it says, you have to show a relation between in words. Now, if you do it in words, you will act like him. It'll be easy then. But see, you try to act like him, but look how you talk. And see, Jesus said, I'm only giving it to you so easy. All you have to do is relate to me in words. Well, how do we do that? I'm the person talking. I'm the person I'm talking to. And I am the person I'm talking of. In other words, there goes your gossiping. Right now your gossiping spirit said, oh, no, we're dead. What are we going to do? You've come to torment us before the time. You got it, booby. Relate means to connect by kinship. Now understand, first you connect by words. You know what kinship means? To act like the parent. To act like the family. But notice, before you act like the family physically, you got to connect in words. You got to show a relation in words. Relate also means to be of the same family. And here's something that I like. And have you noticed the music ministry in the last couple weeks, the harmony that we haven't heard before? Relate means connected melodically and harmonically. And I'll tell you how we connected melodically and harmonically. I got them together and I said, ship up, or shape, however I said it, or you're gone.
Amen.
I said, I don't care if we have to get up there and we have no music. I don't care if I have to run a video. We're not having any more prima donnas, no more tutus, and no more ballerinas up there. If you're a strummer, strum. Shut up. If you're a singer, sing and don't strum. See, I see too much fighting going on. Turn up my microphone. Turn it down. Boom, I'm going to get my thing back. And well, I'm going to do my, ain't nobody going to get ahead of me. Well, should I? God, turn that individual down. See, I sympathize with you people. Your hairdos are all getting wrong. It all goes back. I see plastic flying. The picks are breaking. Strings are boom, boom. Well, what's happening? Everybody's trying to be preeminent. I said, this got to stop, folks, or your history. And now we're connected melodically and harmonically. We relate now. We did it in words, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Well, some people say, well, I do talk to that stupid wife of mine, or vice versa. I do relate in words. You don't even know what words mean. Words means a series of speech sounds serving to communicate meaning. You don't know the difference between words and passing gas. See, if they don't mean anything, you might as well get your scroll and send a message. The speech sounds communicating meaning. That's the only way that it works. No meaning, no words. And some of you there's some sneaks in here, and then I'm done. Sneaky people in here. I'm going to tell you why you're failing in your marriage, failing in your housework, failing in your work, failing, just period, because you don't communicate words with meaning. Now, you know what that means, to communicate with meaning? It means to communicate what you intend, communicate your intention, communicate your purpose, you lying hypocrite. Communicate your intention and your purpose. Intention means what you intend and planned all along. That's what it means. And purpose means the object for which you're doing this whole thing. So if you'd get honest about that, we'd relate in words. Reuben, I want to be a jerk. I want to do this. Well, at least you're communicating words with meaning. But when you come with your outspread wings and your hands like this in prayer, but your scroll is there and I know where you've been, it doesn't fly. See, so what is the Lord saying here? He says, you ain't got no personality. You see what's wrong with us as people? Such a simple truth. Nobody ever told you. Why is your personality such a mess? They try to tell you there's some deep psychological thing and you got to come and lay on this couch for 28 years and pay me $58 million and at the end of it I'll say, gosh, this is a tough one. And then I'm telling you, in 15 minutes, the Lord showed me how insanity, how mental disorders, how mental sickness creeps in, why your behavior patterns are the way that they are. First, second, and third person, the creation, the image and likeness of God, he lost it. Very simply, with words. Now we get it back the same way. If this truth ever gets out in this world, them doctors better get an honest job. They better go to Gain or somewhere and get retrained. Ain't nobody going to give them no more money. Ain't nobody going to go to those people. And lawyers, they're history. And one day when Jesus rules, you mark my words, because we're going to be here, this is what's going to rule. There's going to be no lawyers, going to be no doctors, no firemen, no Indian chiefs. And what are you depressed people going to do then? Oh, shut. Yahoo, serious, man. I'm telling you, we don't need that, please. I mean, you messed up the paint and everything on the place. The chandeliers were moving back and I thought there was an earthquake. No. Yes, even that. I stand back here and I sit back here sometimes and I watch the personalities as they manifest. And I see things you people don't even see. Hopefully now that you've heard about it, you can see this guy knows what he's talking about. And you see, you don't want to know why that's truth, because it's simple. Because it's for everybody and anybody can get it. And that's the traditional insignia of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can get this. You don't need to be a doctor. You don't need years of therapy and counseling, because then that would make him the problem and we'd have excuses. Some would say, I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough money. There wasn't any doctors like that. And no one will have an excuse. That's why I know this is how simple it is. If you don't get it this way, you don't want it. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer?